It's an NRL round review.
All over.
For the final time in 2021, a round review. Because we won't have one next week, MG.
No, we won't. We'll know the grand final winners on Monday. Mm. But it's a long weekend, and we're on a week's holiday next week.
So. We're having a week off.
Yeah.
And even if we weren't, depending on the result from the grand final, you'd either be too inconsolable to actually do one if the bunnies get up,
or incontrollable.
I think you mean uncontrollable, but yeah,
didn't rhyme with in.
The point is, this is our final round review for the season. Let's look back on the prelims. Friday night, 36-16. I didn't see this win coming. I did not see this sort of dominant performance coming from the Bunnies.
I don't think anyone did, to be honest. And the way that South Sydney started the game with Cody Walker's first three passes not hitting the target, you think, geez, they're nervous. But it didn't take them long to get into their mojo. And I think the couple of early tries from the Manly that were disallowed, which rightly so, hurt them bad. If one of them was allowed, we might have saw a different game, but 22 at half time, the game was over. South Sydney put their foot down, and they did it in a big way. Cody Walker was unreal. Young Blake Taff at fullback is playing way beyond his years and experience, and their forwards keep doing their thing. The Burgess, again, off the bench was awesome, and Callum Mutungi and Sua are developing into a real 1-2 punch for South Sydney, which looking forward to Sunday, there's going to be a big problem for Penrith.
Yeah, well, and the other bloke who we spoke about what he did the week prior, but Jai Arrow again, his energy, I mean, there's one that I can't wait to see, and we don't want to drift into preview mode, but Jai Arrow and Tevita Pangai Jr., geez, I hope TPJ's right to go, because if those two come head-to-head at some point...
Well, they will come head-to-head, you know that.
Well, I just want TPJ to be right to go. I want it to be 100% TPJ, or 85+, because if he goes...
I don't think he'll play if he's not 100, because you can't afford to have an early injury in a grand final. So,
well, let's talk about the playing injured players. Adam Reynolds. This was the real shock of this game. We saw that Cody Walker was taking the early kicks, and then when they scored the first try, Blake Taff was doing the goal kicking, and it became very obvious very early that Adam Reynolds was carrying this injury, this groin injury.
We had a message from Gordy, who was on our sideline for the game. He said, "Boys, come to me when you can, because I've got some big news." And we went to him, and he said, "Adam Reynolds has been out here for the last 10 minutes doing little run-throughs, like doing a mini fitness test. He hasn't kicked any balls. He hasn't done any kicking whatsoever. He's just running on the leg. He's with the physio, and he's not looking 100%. And then we went back to their dressing room, and he wasn't getting undressed and getting into his civvy, so he was playing. But I was quick to see that, yeah, as you mentioned, he didn't take any of the first four or five kicks. It was all Cody Walker on that left side. And then as they scored their first try, Blake Taff. So we knew that there must have been something wrong. We first speculated that it might have been a quad, but then it was the groin that played up through the week. And even Wayne Bennett said after the game, when Adam Reynolds kind of said, "Oh, it's nothing," you know, he said, "Well, it is something, because we were lucky." we decided really closely whether to let him play or not. So he said, "We rolled the dice and we got up," because, and then he had a run in the game where it kind of looked like a little mini intercept, but he made a little break, and I think that was the turning point. I think that's when he said, "Okay, I'm okay."
Yeah,
I'm okay, because with groins, you know, being a runner yourself, and how delicate the groin area is when you get a little tear, or you get a little a pulled groin, and you sometimes think it's a lot worse than it is, because it's controls all your running.
You've got to have the confidence in it to actually. Yes. And the other thing, and talking, because you saw he started to kick a bit more during the game.
That's right.
That kind of straight back and forward of the leg and straight line movement. And I'm not a medical expert by any means, but my limited experience with sport and injuries, I'm not surprised that Taff was taking the kicking, because that's much more of a kind of a sideways movement corner type process. So might have aggravated more. Look, he's out there. He got through it. I've got zero doubt that he'll be out there this weekend
there.
For the grand. But I mean, that pack. This was another win again, built off this Bunnies pack. Which, if we go back to the very beginning of the year for this team, it was all about the firepower in the backs. No one was talking about Nichols and Burgess and
Totola.
And Totola and Kalamatangi. Although both, I remember both Benji Marshall and Damien Cook both said to us before round one.
Yep.
Keon Kalamatangi, watch this guy.
Now we
are seeing it.
Well, he's played in, both him and Jaden Sewer have played 21 of the games this year that they could have played in. I think Kalamatangi was suspended while Jaden spent 3 or 4 weeks in Reggie's, not being in this team. Mm. And we spoke to Benji Marshall on the Saturday scrum, and I asked him that same question about Jaden Sewer. He said, well, Jaden Sewer and Wayne Bennett go back a long way. He's been, like, when Wayne was coaching here, he kind of gave him his first game in first grade, and some people you got to cuddle, some people you got to kick up the arse. And, and Benji kind of alluded to that Jaden's one of them guys that Wayne's got to keep on. And if he doesn't, and when he's keeping on him and he doesn't do his job, we put him in the reserve grade. So that's tough love.
Yeah.
And the tough loves work because they were fantastic against the Seagulls. Seagulls, I think they just got to the precipice and just didn't have that extra oomph to go anywhere. Yeah. It was quite evident that they didn't have enough firepower up front to match the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yep.
And, you know, I suppose we were talking about it again on Saturday about the if Adam Fanua Blake was in that Manly team, how different would it be?
Yep. And look, Ryan Girdler won't say this because Gerds is a humble man, but his comments about them being flat track bullies, and I'm not saying they're flat track bullies, but I went back and I had a look through the teams that they'd beaten. You can only beat the teams in front of you. And this was a test. This was as good an opposition as Manly had faced since they found form. And I think they missed Brad Parker. I think they really missed Brad Parker's defence.
Big time.
You know, that was a significant out. And you get the feeling that some of these younger guys who had taken such a step during the year just might have run out of petrol tickets.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think we'll get to the next game in a second, Storm and Panthers. But similar to the Storm, when Kepi, who's been one of their best front rowers, middlemen, when he got the HIA, that was in the first 5 or 6 minutes. That was one of their major weapons gone. And you speak of Olakau'atu and Schuster. With their growth, I'm going to be interested to see how they grow because they've both got unlimited abilities, but they've got to find a way to get themselves involved in the game a lot more. They've got to not just be on that edge and wait till the ball comes to them. And we spoke about the same thing with Fifita. And we see other second rowers in the competition, like the Kalamatangis and the Sewers, who seem to get themselves in the game earlier. Mm. They come in for a hit and they do a front rowers hit up. And that's what I like to see Schuster and Olakau'atu do go forward. Because they've got the ability. They've just got to get that mentality that I've got to do more for my team. I'm gifted.
And there's the upside for if you're a Manly fan looking to 2022.
Yeah.
You've got two young kids who had great seasons and there's an obvious opportunity for them to improve, which makes the team better. Marty Tapau departing obviously will hurt, but Josh Alloa is the other one. He's going to be in strife. That was a really bad tackle on Nichols.
Well, I think he's already been given three or four weeks.
If he's taken the ban, I imagine it's probably three. So
okay,
yeah. Chad, producer Charlie's giving me the thumbs up there. That was a nasty shot.
Yeah.
Bad. But conversely, the Cleary one, fine. And he won't be suspended and probably shouldn't have been a penalty, really.
No.
Quickly, just finishing, rounding out that game, Jackson Paulo moonwalking. I don't know if it's got a place on the rugby league field.
Oh, yeah, it has. I loved it. Because you're bad. What's he doing? I've never seen it before in a rugby league field. He actually caught the ball on the 10-metre line and with his back facing the try line, and basically just kept going. The momentum kept going. He was running. It's first time I've ever seen a try being scored backwards.
It was awesome.
Yeah, they look. South Sydney have been. They look like a really good. I've used this analogy many times. They look like that racehorse you just prime for the big race. They've come out of the barriers. Their coat's looking good. They've got a good sweat up. And their form for the last 7 weeks of the season indicates that Wayne Bennett has got him just exactly where he wants him.
Yeah, well, the other bloke I reckon he's got exactly where he wants is Ivan Cleary, because he would have sat back on Saturday night, watched this game, and just thought, I'm not fussed who wins this. The damage that these two teams are doing to one another in this game.
Wow.
Panthers 10, Storm 6, but what a battle these two put each other through.
Yeah, Penrith have been in three of them in the last 3 weeks. South Sydney 2 weeks ago when they got beaten, Parramatta last week was just another knock them down, drag them out affair. And on Saturday, that took the cake. That was, you know, that was next level. I've never seen two teams so tired on a rugby league field as they were. I've never seen such desperation in defence as Penrith when Olin was close to scoring a couple of times. Gee, Luke Capewell's defence was good. Gee, he was good. Kurt Capewell's defence was great. He was, geez, it was, I almost gave him my man of the match. I think Isaiah pipped him, but Dylan Edwards was also great at the back. And it was just so intense. And look, I'm a realist. You know, to lose Christian Welsh and Brandon Smith in the first 20 minutes, well, Penrith would love to see the back of them two because one is the biggest antagoniser of the kickers. And the other is he's fantastic with the ball out of dummy half, and he you know plays 80 minutes. So that was massive for them, losing two players like that. But Melbourne stayed in the game. Melbourne picked their worst time to play the worst game of the season as far as handling goes.
Yeah,
every other stat they won, but their handling errors were shocking. I mean, poor George Jennings for that try that could have changed the whole dynamic of the game if he catches that and dives in the corner. But that's what pressure does to you. That's what knockout footy does to you. And that's what done to Melbourne. Melbourne were very uncharacteristically rattled. I thought Pangai Jr. starting the game rattled them. I think that him starting the game and getting in their face, well, no one from Penrith has done that the times they play them. They usually just win by their ability. But to beat Melbourne in that type of scenario, you've got to be in their face. You've got to be aggro. You've got to have someone with a bit of a fuse and Pangai Jr. was that man.
Well, I think if we check the tape, that's exactly what you called for last week when Moses Leota was ruled out. You said, bring on TPJ, start him, send a message early, and they did it beautifully. And James Fisher-Harris was, you know, found another level from what he's been at the last week. Well, got closer to that form for the middle of the year.
Well, I looked at him early in the game, and his leg was really strapped, his left leg, his knee.
So you reckon that's been something.
And then he bunged it up, and then I thought, he's not gonna last. But he did, and somehow he's the inspiration in the forwards.
The Panthers, it feels like you've got to have, if you've got trick plays, if you want to call them, or set plays, if they're really obvious or they're very distinct, you can only pull them out maybe once a year in total. And the Panthers pulled that one out at the perfect time. The Nathan Cleary soccer cross to Crichton in the corner, the spearing chip pass. It was beautifully drawn up and beautifully executed. It was great to see. I loved it.
Oh, so
because I haven't seen anything like it this year.
Well, Teddy did it in April to the same team. Teddy did it in about the 80th minute to Melbourne, and he kicked it across for Ikevalu. And Nathan Cleary has since come out and thanked James Tedesco for doing that because he said, I've been putting it in for the last 5 months. I've just been, you know, waiting and waiting and hoping I can use it in the big stage. Well, he said, I saw the opportunity and I thought straight away of getting the dummy half. And I looked across and, you know, the Fox was way in field. So the quickest way to get the ball across to Steve Crichton was to kick it. It was a perfect kick.
It had to be a perfect kick.
And that's what he's come on as in the league. I think Nathan Cleary's kicking game is paramount to Panthers' success.
Well, and I think if you're Jackson Paulo and Alex Johnston, you'd be
get ready.
Well, you just go if there's a scrum feed at any point, and they're inside our 20. Do not crouch in too much, especially if you're playing on Stephen Crichton's side. This battle, it was just, I mean. We saw Jerome Luai went off for a HIA. Tyrone May just came on well, although I did see on the coverage Ivan Cleary drop an F-bomb as Jerome Luai left the ground.
Because he thought he was going to get a free replacement because, well, I thought he would too, because the hit from Munster, while not on purpose, we've seen so many more this season.
How is that not a penalty?
Well, that's why he made the replacement. And that's why he was peeved off, because I've just blown a replacement. So he didn't have time to, you know, call Tyrone May back because he'd already made it. So, and he thought he was going to get a penalty for it, and which he should have. But he wasn't placed on report, and there was no penalty. So it's not classed as a free interchange.
I get it's an accident, but we've seen blokes put on reports for accidents.
Look at Magic Round. We saw that was a send-off offence.
Yeah.
In Magic Round.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was, look, for the most part, I thought the referees were pretty good over the weekend.
Yeah, I did too. I don't think they had any sway in the result of both games. I think both, you know, Melbourne had an opportunity to score endless times in that second half, but the Panthers' defence was just heroic. It was just scrambling. It was, you got to win games with your defence, and they definitely won that game with their defence.
Can I say the thing that I really love seeing, MG, given we spoke about this last week and I mentioned that we might see a team play its grand final now, and get carried away with the result. But because of the ease with which the Bunnies did it, they didn't get carried away because they probably knew a fair way out, we're heading to a grand final.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah Yeo at the end of the game here for Panthers. Now, another nail biter like they had against Parramatta last week. He got them all together and just... Yeah. Said, "Hey, nothing. We've
Boys,
achieved
we've been
nothing
here
yet.
We've been here last year, and that's the eerie irony of it all. That reminds me so much of '91 when we got beat and then come back the next year and did it a different way to these current guys. But that redemption is always on top of your mind, and I think that's what's driven Penrith this year. It's driven them big time to atone for that disappointment last year, and I think that." This look, I know that Penrith are starting favourites on Sunday. At the moment, I think it's $1.65 Penrith and $2.30 for
South. Seems about right.
Yeah, I'd have them closer. I really would. I'd have them closer. I'd have Penrith 185, maybe, okay. You know.
215.
I'd have the Rabbitohs 195, $2. I don't think it's that much of a discrepancy. And the way that these forwards of both teams are playing, it's going to be a game of the playmakers. You're going to see the playmakers come to the fore. Matt Burton's going to be the recipient of some good stuff outside of Luai and Cleary. And likewise, I think same with Campbell Graham and Dane Gagai, who both played very well against Manly. So Blake Taff, just got to quickly mention his performance. Sorry, I was remiss of him not to. He'll be the least experienced player to play in the NRL era. That's since 1998 in a grand final. With seven games he's played. Moses Mbai played in one in 2014 when he played nine games. So Blake Taff, he was fantastic. He was just a ball of energy. And then these young guys, there's some. I think you said it once on the show, they don't have any memory.
Yeah.
They're goldfish because they do something wrong and then they try and do it again. Reece Walsh, with his play, I mean, he's in the news for other things today, but... you know, these young guys who just come on the field, Walker, when he first burst on the scene, all these young guys who have made their debuts, they don't give a damn about what they can do wrong. They just worry about how they can make it better.
There's some house money, and you hope that they play with it this weekend because they're like, well, I'm not supposed to be here. Blake Taff, more than anybody, I'm not supposed to be here. I am at a club where Latrell Mitchell is the fullback.
And it's here, all about sliding doors.
And here I am going into a grand final. And it's a free hit for me. And hopefully, you know, I don't know, Wayne, you know, you put full faith in Wayne Bennett on handling these blokes and having them ready, cherry ripe to go.
What about the 2040, by the way? The first 2040,
first 2040 of the season.
Brandon Smith, no one knew what was going
Smith.
On. Dylan Edwards didn't even, he walked to the ball. He's saying, oh, he's outside the 40.
He let it go. It was awesome. So it was a great preliminary final weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it sets it up for, our preview that I think we're actually going to drop on Saturday this week, our NRL Grand Final preview. We might even have some special guest jump in for that one. But look, so much to dig through. But looking back on this weekend, just a really great weekend of football. Season's come to an end for the Melbourne Storm and for the Manly Seagulls. And we have got ourselves...
It's so dramatic. So dramatic.
We lose, what was it, team four and team one?
Yeah.
So we find ourselves with two and three. And I think there's probably a lot of people out there who at the start of the year would have tipped this as a grand final.
Yeah, at the start of the year. A lot would have. It's first Sydney grand final, all Sydney grand final since 2014 when South last won it. So for the last seven years, we haven't had any two Sydney teams. So even though it's being played in Brisbane, I think this week's going to be fantastic with the build-up in both down South Sydney and at Penrith.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I feel good. I felt on Saturday I was nervous. My whole family were on the edge of our seats and it was such a toing and froing game that you just didn't know what was going to happen.
You're on the edge of the esky too, I reckon. I got a phone call from you a bit later on.
Yeah, I know. The team behind the dream. we're going to call it.
Righto, there it is. That's your round review. The final one for the year.
Yeah.
We are counting you down. It is NRL Grand Final week. And whew, got a big week ahead. Can't wait for this one.